understanding of thy gospel teachings. And fire also with us with the year of thy blessed commandments, that broadening down all kind of desires, we may enter upon a spiritual manner of living, all thinking and doing such things as are well pleasing to thee. For thou art the illumination of our souls and bodies of Christ our Lord, and unto the peace and thou glory, together with Father, who is from everlasting, and then all holy, good, and life-giving Spirit, now and ever and unto ages of ages. Gospel. Peace be unto all. The reading is from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Let us attend. When the wise men departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all its districts, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, A voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted, because they are no more. Now when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the young child's life are dead. Then he arose, took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea instead of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there, and being warned by God in a dream, he turned aside into the region of Galilee, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, He shall be called a Nazarene. Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. Christ is born. The joy of the feast be with you. The church has us read this morning's gospel that includes Herod's evil deed of slaughtering these infants, not once, but several times over the course of the feast. Like an evangelical koan, a gospel riddle. I don't see how it can be solved outside the gospel preached by the holy apostles. St. Matthew tells us that Herod's unspeakable cruelty was foreseen by the prophet Jeremiah. It is a terrible demonstration of the evil that the Lord came to conquer at its root. In the mystery of Christmas. That the prophet foresaw this event would indicate, so it seems to me, that the slaughter of the innocents is part of the prophetic, it is necessary that the Son of Man must suffer and rise from the dead again on the third day. In this, the slaughter of the innocents shows Christmas to be the beginning of Pascha, when Christ our God destroys in the flesh that he received from the Holy Virgin death by his death. In this slaughter of the innocents, it is not the cruelty of Herod that triumphs. Indeed, Herod himself would die a miserable death. It is Christ God who triumphs in our flesh. And so he makes us victors over the devil, if we put on Christ. He is born of the Virgin precisely for the purpose of storming the lair of the devil and all his angels and all his pride, and to destroy by his death the devil who destroyed us, and to deliver us from our captivity to the devil's power of death, and to open the way of Eden. He destroys death by his death in our flesh. So he makes our death to be the destruction of death, if we put on Christ. I see this indicated even in the Lord's and the Holy Family's descent into Egypt. Egypt is the place of Israel's captivity. In the liturgical symbolism of the church, Egypt stands for hell. Pharaoh is the devil. And so when Christ goes into Egypt and then returns, even as the infants are being slaughtered, if you look into the theological meaning of it, you see that Christ is going into the very lair of the devil. And as the infants are being slaughtered, Christ is already beginning to invade the devil's lair and is already beginning to wage war against the devil at the root, where he holds us captive in death. And it's interesting that the church does not commemorate these infants as innocents, but rather she calls them the holy, righteous ones. And we even called on them this morning at the matin service that they would pray for us. In this, the church is telling us that they were martyrs, for they were slaughtered in witness to Christ's invasion of the devil's lair. By their blood, they were baptized into Christ. And so they were united to him in the likeness of his death. Christ himself is our righteousness, says St. Paul. And so united to Christ, they became righteous ones. And the wisdom of the church says, the souls of the righteous are in the hand of God, and there no torment shall touch them. Moreover, the wisdom of the church says, in the sight of the unwise, they seem to die, and their departure is taken for misery, and their going from us to be utter destruction, but they are in peace. For though they be punished in the sight of men, yet is their hope full of immortality. It is in the wisdom of the church that we know these innocents as holy, righteous ones, who are in their martyrdom united with Christ and raised to immortality. In the wisdom of the church, we see already, in the slaughter of the holy, righteous ones, even as we see in the slaughter of all the martyrs, the light of Christ's holy resurrection beginning to dawn. We see the joy of the resurrection already beginning to shine in the darkness of the weeping mother's misery. And even this is given in the prophecy of Jeremiah that St. Matthew says was fulfilled in their slaughter, in their martyrdom. For the prophecy St. Matthew draws from continues, thus says the Lord, let your voice cease from weeping, your eyes from your tears, for they shall return from the land of your enemies. There shall be an abiding home for your children. On the plane of world history, the land of your enemies that Jeremiah would be talking about is Babylon. But on the plane of the spirit, it is the realm of Hades. The prophecy of Jeremiah that St. Matthew says is fulfilled in the slaughter of the Holy Righteous One, therefore anticipates the prophecy from Isaiah that St. Matthew says is fulfilled when Jesus begins his ministry after his baptism. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. On those sitting in the region in shadow of death, a great light has dawned. But when I hear in Jeremiah's prophecy, they shall return from the land of your enemies, there shall be an abiding home for your children, I think immediately of what the Lord says through Ezekiel, I am your inheritance. The home in which these holy righteous ones will be made to dwell is the Lord God himself. And when I see this, I think immediately of Ezekiel's prophecy that we read on Great and Holy Friday. Behold, my people, I will raise you up from your graves, and I shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I shall place you in your own land, which is the kingdom of God, not in Palestine, but in heaven, whose land is not Canaan, but Christ God himself, born of the Virgin and raised from the dead. See how this prophecy of Jeremiah opens like a door to reveal within the mystery of Christmas, of Emmanuel, God with us, the mysteries of Christ's Holy Theophany and Holy Pascha. Christ's Holy Church does not sugarcoat the sorrow of death, and she does not flinch from evil. We can find real healing in the Church for that reason. She is the very body of the God-man, born of the Virgin, precisely to descend into hell by means of the cross, the tree of life, to destroy the devil, and so heal our wounds by his wounds, and destroy our death by his death. Christmas is the gospel of the Word of God, who penetrates into the nothingness the world comes from in birth and falls back into in death, to raise it up in himself as a new creation. So I would challenge you, in the face of this slaughter, this martyrdom of the innocents, of the righteous ones, that you come into the cave of Christmas and you go over and you see if you can squeeze Christ's cute little chubby cheeks. This is not a cute little baby that we are worshiping. This is serious business. And as it says in the wisdom of Solomon, to the unwise, it seems that they perished. To those who are outside the church, outside the faith of the church, who cannot see the mystery of the church within the faith of the church, all of this is nonsense. But within the faith of the church, within the mystery of Christ's Holy Pascha, we see deeper than the surface. And we see in this martyrdom of the holy righteous ones the mystery of Christ destroying death by his death. And so we commemorate these infants. We venerate them. We call on them as holy righteous ones, martyrs for Christ, saints, holy righteous ones. Pray to God for us. Together with the angels, Noel, the holy, the slaughter, the martyrdom of the holy righteous ones proclaims the gospel. In fact, I just now think of it. In my Greek text, you know, the editors of that Greek manuscript, they're not Orthodox. And they give the heading for this particular section, the slaughter of the infants. Some others might say the slaughter of the innocents. So I, without thinking, have just kind of taken that on. I'm calling this the slaughter of the infants. But I'm thinking that if an Orthodox theologian were the one responsible for organizing the text, he would not have said the slaughter, he would have said the martyrdom. He would not have said the innocents, he would have said the martyrdom of the holy righteous ones. Because within the church, we see differently. We see, have a different perspective. It's a theological perspective. It's a perspective in which we see things from within the mystery of the Logos, the Word of God. So together with the angels, Noel, the martyrdom of the holy righteous ones, proclaims the gospel, the good news, that the kingdom of heaven has come in the Son of God's birth from the Virgin, and that its reign of light and life, simply by the Lord God becoming flesh and coming to be with us and dwelling among us, even as a little child, already is piercing the darkness of hell. The martyrdom of the holy righteous ones is central to the story of the wise men. And they were from Babylon. The wise men were from Babylon, the historical place of Israel's captivity to the east. Israel was captive to Egypt, and they passed through the Red Sea, and they were delivered. But the fifth century, Israel was taken, the southern kingdom was taken captive into Babylon, the exile into Babylon. So Babylon is the place of Judah's historical captivity to the east. Is it mere coincidence that Babylon is the backdrop then of Jeremiah's prophecy? These wise men were astrologers. They were students of the stars. They were ancient philosophers. They were the equivalent of modern-day scientists. Their study then was the cosmos. That means that they would study its essence, its beginning and end, its meaning, and how it moves. They would therefore have been students as well of the human soul. They would have been psychologists, for the ancients understood man to be a microcosm of the cosmos. Might the wise men represent then, might they be a testimony to those who studied nature, both the world and the human soul, with a sober and sincere mind, to see how it is that the heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament shows his handiwork, and how the earth is filled with his mercy. The hymns of the church for the days of the Christmas feast remark many times on the wise men's origin from Babylon. As I said, the place of Judah's exile and captivity in the east. As though this means something. Scripture says that warned by an angel of the Lord in a dream, they did not go back to Herod, but they went home by another way. The Holy Family escaped Herod by going to Egypt, the historical place of Israel's captivity to the west. And again from Jeremiah, we learn that simply by their presence, by their coming into the land of Egypt, we learn that the idols in the temples of Egypt were toppled. If Egypt represents our captivity to the idolatry of the passions that is healed by receiving the Lord into our soul, might Babylon represent our captivity to the mesmerizing spiritualities of the world's religions? Might it be a representation of our captivity to our fascination with the horoscope, with astrology, and its teaching that our fate is determined by astral and cosmic forces? If we have been baptized into Christ, our fate is not determined by the stars. I don't know what business a Christian has with the horoscope. I have no understanding why the horoscope would have any interest over a Christian, an Orthodox Christian. Your life has nothing to do with the horoscope. The horoscope has nothing to do with your life. You are a Christian. You have been baptized into Christ. You have not been baptized into the stars. You have been made free. You've been made a child of God. You're not a child of the stars. Even the stars worship Christ. What are you doing worshiping the horoscope? It says that they were led home by another way. It says, having been taught by a star to adore the Lord of the cosmos. How could the wise men go back the way that they had come to the and go back to their bondage of astrology's determinism and the blindness of scientific knowledge? How could they not become students of faith, of the knowledge of the Lord, the Word of God in whom all things were made, and whose image is stamped indelibly on the creation and on the human soul. This child born of the Virgin, he is the principle of your soul, not the atom, not energy. The Logos of God is the very principle of your soul, of your being. He's the one who determines how you exist. He's the one that determines that even that you exist. He's the one that determines how you move, how you're put together. The wise men, having seen him, having been shown by nature itself that this is nature's Lord and God, why would they go back and worship the servants of the Lord, the stars, the sciences? Why would they not worship the King himself, the King of all creation, the King of the stars, the King of the creation? And I'm wondering if that's what it means theologically and what it says. They went back another way, by another path, the path of Christ, who is himself, the way, the truth, and the life. The wise men and the holy righteous ones then together form a gospel proclaiming our deliverance from death and every kind of cosmic determinism. For the Lord of all has been born of the Virgin and now clothes himself in our own flesh. The kingdom of heaven is within you. What are you doing pursuing your meaning out there? You won't find it out there. You will find it within you, in this Lord Jesus Christ who is in you, because he has been born of the Virgin, and because he was laid in the tomb. He was laid inside your birth and inside your death. He's the one you come from. He's the one you return to. He is your Lord. And this is what the gospel of the wise men and the holy and righteous ones is proclaiming. Christ is in you. This Noel of the wise men and of the holy righteous one then calls out to us. It was calling out to us, let us raise our minds on high and go to Bethlehem. But now it's calling out to us, raise your minds on high and let's go to the waters of the Jordan. And from there, let's go into the desert of our own soul with our Lord Jesus Christ. And let's take up our cross, let's deny ourselves. And let's start working to put to death everything that's worldly in us, everything that's earthly in us. And let's unite ourselves to Christ in his holy Pascha. And let us go with him to Jerusalem and to Golgotha and into his tomb. And discover that we have come with him into the tomb of our heart, that he creates anew and makes us to be new creatures, creatures of God. Children of God. We're no longer children of the world. We're children of God. We're not makeups of the stars, of the dust and so forth and so on. We are children of God, made to move, to live, and to exist in the very spirit of God. What good news, goodness sakes, what good news. Why would we not want, with all of our might, to chase this and to pursue this? And to learn this and to do it. Well, we can. Because we're celebrating Theophany this next weekend. And not very long afterwards, we start Great Lent. Here's a good time to announce. The publican and the Pharisee, the opening of the Lenten Triodion, is in 29 days. January 28th, we open the Lenten Triodion and we begin our journey to Pascha. Christ is born. Most holy Theotokos, save us. Glory to Jesus Christ. Let us say with all our soul, with all our mind.